Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. It's another Friday evening worship service. I'm happy that you are here, and I'm sure that you are happy to be in a place where we can give God glory, give Him thanks for having brought us through the week and to the end of the week to usher in the Sabbath. Today, we're going to have a little talk about blooming where you're planted. So I'm carrying along the theme that we started with on Friday of planting, being in the garden. And I had sent out a little note to ask everybody to bring a plant. And I'm going to lead by example. So here's my plant. I hope you can see it. Long spindly leaves. And I have placed my plant. My plant is not on the veranda. My plant is actually in my bathroom. And it's doing very well in there. So today we're going to talk about this idea of blooming where you're planted. And I want you to think about the idea of blooming. When you consider what you do when you bloom, what comes to mind? I want you to talk with me. We're having a little talk before we actually start properly. What comes to mind when you think of blooming? And it doesn't matter if it's in the realm of plants, but just think of the word blooming. What comes to mind? Unmute yourself and talk with me.
Hello.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you now.
I think blooming, what comes to mind is flourishing.
Flourish. Did you say flourish, Lorraine?
I did. I'm sorry.
Yes.
My mouth was full.
Flourish.
Flourish.
Flourish. So we're thinking of something positive, something productive, something progressive.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anybody else? Bloom.
Growing.
Well, look, when I think of bloom, I think of life. Mm. I don't think of something that's dead. I don't think of something that is stagnant. I think of something that is bustling and full of energy and pulsating with life, energetic, full of vigor and vitality and movement. And today, I want us to think of those active words as we go into our session. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have our opening song, and then we go straight into our talk. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come before you today. You are the giver of life. You infuse us with energy and vitality. And we present ourselves to you today so that you can energize us. You can allow us to bloom. We thank you for the interest that you have taken in us. And we ask you to direct our minds and our thoughts and our hearts upwards. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Welcome, Charon. You're muted. Okay. Nicole?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Charon.
Okay. I was locked out.
Well, welcome. We're happy to have you in. Our opening song, Nicole?
Yes.
Could you introduce our opening song?
Yes, it's hymn number 240, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Love for nature.
You're muted, Sonia.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son.
Sorry, Sonia.
Thee will I cherish. Thee will I honor. Thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. And I like the second verse because it talks about being robed in the blooming garb of spring. And when we think of spring, we think of things coming alive. We think of things growing. We think of things being in their fullness, in their abundance. And I'd like you to just imagine that you're walking through a field, and the field is filled with flowers, brightly colored flowers, and you can smell the fragrance. That is something to lift your heart. That is something to make you feel good. That's not something to bring you down. Spring re-energizes us. Spring gives us a skip. We start skipping around and feeling really happy when spring is around. And it is something for us to keep a visual in our mind of something that's positive and something that's full of life when we might be going through times when things are drab and dreary and sad and depressing. And I want us to go to our scripture reading today, which is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And when you found it, I'd like somebody to read it for me. I met this verse many years ago on a hike to Blue Mountain Peak. Somebody introduced this passage to me and the song that goes with it. There's a little song that goes with that verse, which I won't sing for you today. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, it's one of the minor prophets.
He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you very much. So,
Sonia,
you know,
Sonia, 1 minute.
Sorry?
You could sing it.
I'm not hearing you, Sharon, you're muted.
You could sing it, she said.
Sing it. I know it.
Not tonight. Another night I will sing it for you. Okay, so the verse starts off, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord. Active words. The verbs are very pronounced in this verse. But I want us to look at the first thing it says. He hath showed thee. I'm a teacher, and the best way for my students to learn is by my modeling something for them, my demonstrating, my showing them something. And I like the idea of show and tell, because things that you see remain with you. And we are told that God has showed us what he wants us to do. He had showed thee, O man, what is good. God has shown us what is good and what he wants from us. What does he require from us? He has already shown it to us. So he has not left us in the dark as to what we need to do when anything happens. He has given us an example. He has shown us already. And that's a beautiful thing about God. He never ever throws us into the deep. He always walks with us and shows us what he expects of us. He gives us an example. He gives us a blueprint to follow. And his blueprint says, I require that you do justly. And the word justly brings to mind something that is fair. We talk about justifying something, we mean we put it back into the right position that it ought to be in. And God says, I want you to do things that are just. I want you to tell things to get back into balance. I want you to be the person who makes things level so that everything is on the same. There are no dips. Everything is level. And he says, I want you to love mercy. And when we think of somebody who is merciful, what comes to mind? Anybody? Somebody who is merciful. Or when we think of receiving mercy, what comes to mind? You have to talk with me today, people.
Forgiving. Someone who's forgiving.
Being forgiving. Fantastic. Not doing unto somebody what they deserve, but showing them mercy. Indeed, being forgiving. Anything else? Anybody?
I think in order to be merciful, you have to have a heart of compassion.
Compassion. So you have to care. You have to think about others.
Well, okay? You think about them the way that you would like to be treated.
Thank you very much. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Fantastic. So God says, this is good. This is what I require of you. You're going to put things into balance. You're going to show mercy. You're going to love mercy. And if you love mercy, it means that any situation that you meet upon, regardless of how badly you might be treated, you are going to be merciful. You are going to show love and care and compassion. You are going to be forgiving. You are going to show the other side. And then there's the other part of this verse. It says, walk humbly with thy God. And if we are humble, we always put somebody else first. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. And that makes us humble. Now, I need us to keep that idea in our mind. My topic tonight is bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you are planted. And I want us to think of a seed. When we have a seed and we say, I'm going to plant it, we dig a hole, okay? And we put the seed in the hole and then we cover the seed. What is the condition that the seed is in? Anybody? What's the condition that the seed is now in? It's in the hole, it's in the ground, it has been covered.
It has to rely on the soil.
It has to rely on the soil, yes.
No sunlight. So it needs
no sunlight.
And the actual seed has food within it. So the seed is food for the plant.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jennifer. When we think about putting a seed in the ground has no light. The ground is dark. It is cold. It is wet. And think of it. Sometimes we have been planted. We have been put in a position, in a place, and it is not welcoming. It is cold and it's wet and it is dark and we can't see any way out of it. And sometimes we feel that things are closing in on us. Sometimes we feel covered over. Sometimes we feel dark and depressed, and we feel that everything around us is negative. But what is the beauty of having been planted in the ground? Will you just stay in the ground? Is there any movement that is taking place while you're in the ground? I want us to think about the fact that when you are planted, it might seem as if you have died, but that seeming death is actually the beginning of life. And when we look at a plant, a seed that is in the ground, anybody know the different processes that the seed goes through while it is underground? Anybody wants to talk with me about that? Has anybody ever done an experiment at school where your teachers told you to put a seed in tissue, wet tissue? Anybody? Or am I the only one who had that experiment?
I had it too. It's okay. You're not crazy. I had it too.
And when you put it in the wet tissue, after a while, what did you notice happening to the seed?
You start to see the seed split.
The seed split. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking, this is the end of the seed. The seed is dead. The seed is dead. The seed has split. It is shedding itself. It is dead now. Dead, dead, dead. Nothing is going to be coming. But then, once the seed is split, what do we notice? It's as if the seed being split means that the seed can do what?
Sprout.
Sorry?
Sprout.
It can sprout. And that is the energy that is in the seed. The energy that is in the seed is causing the seed to split. And what I want us to think about when we are in deep, dark, desolate places, that is when that relationship that we have with Christ must be bubbling in us, and we just want to burst out of the situation that we are in. Somebody once said that when you're going through troubles, you must start dancing and giving God the glory before you see the answer coming appear to you in anticipation of what is going to happen. Dance in the corridor. Dance when the door is closed. Dance when there is darkness. Make your own sunshine. Create your energy. Because the Bible says it's only the dead who cannot praise him. And once we have life, we should be praising God. It doesn't matter if the life is not the one that we want. It doesn't matter if the life seems to be one where we are deep under the soil and there is no way that we can see the sunrise. Once we have life, we have hope, and we should be praising God. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a dark place, and literal or otherwise, and you start singing. And once you start singing, you start feeling better. Has that ever happened to anybody, or am I talking to myself?
No, you're not talking to yourself.
All right. So somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're in such a dark place that the only thing you can do is sing. And it doesn't matter if it is off key. The Lord knows the songs that you, the Lord knows what you're doing with those sounds. You know, the story is told of a little girl who was fervently heard saying the letters of the alphabet as though she was praying. And the person who heard her praying said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I don't know the words to say, but I know that when Jesus hears the letters of the alphabet, he'll put them together and know what I want to say." It's the same thing with us. We have a song and we don't sing it the right way. The Lord knows the sentiments of our heart, and he understands what we need and what we are going through and what we want to accomplish with the singing. So we are in dark places. We have been planted in a situation and we think we have died, but there's life in us. And once there is life, there is hope. And once there is hope, we can sing and we can shout, because Jesus is always answering. He's never far away. He's always there. The call him on the telephone. Tell him what you want. And today, I want us to remember that we might be planted. We might be dark. And I keep stressing the planting and being in the dark, because oftentimes, right now, we have been battered and beaten by everything. And we keep saying to ourselves, not another one, not another one. But I think that we need to take this time to recognize that our being planted is not a bad situation. Our being planted is a time for us to germinate. It is a time for us to shed old things. It is a time for us to find new life, new energy, invigorate ourselves, and to see things differently. We have a new perspective from which we are coming from. Regardless of our situation or our circumstances, let God's light shine through. I want to encourage us this evening to bloom where we are planted. I want us to be encouraged not to think of our being planted as a death, but as a resurrection, as a way to create a new life, a new vision for the next stage of our lives. You know, sometimes things happen to us. People may say things to us and it hurts us. And we become bogged down by the negative words that they say. We may encounter unpleasant things. These things irritate us. And they may even make us angry. Sometimes they cause us a lot of hurt. Sometimes they even cause us to be bitter. But I remember Jennifer's devotion one morning where she says, let's not be bitter, but better. I hope I got that right. But let us think about removing the negatives and seeing the positives. Using the lemons to make lemonade. Blooming where we are planted. You know, I don't know how many of you, when you're going to plant, have ever raked the area, or in digging, you see some little animals scurrying away. Have you ever thought about what those animals might be thinking? Anybody? When you go to your garden and you're going to plant some seeds, some corn or some peas, and you dig into the ground, or you put the fork into the ground and you see a little worm wiggling off, or you see a little cricket wiggling off, what comes to your mind? Anybody?
Relocation.
Fine, relocation. Did the cricket ask to be relocated? Did the insects ask to be relocated?
Well, they relocate themselves. We don't have to necessarily relocate them. They relocate themselves.
But we went there and we disturbed them.
That's
but
right.
There's a message. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
It's easy for us to look and we can say, yes, they're relocating. And that's exactly what they do. And we can take a lesson from that. They have been disturbed. Their world has been turned upside down. They have been stirred up. They've been covered up. They've been relocated. But do we hear them complaining? No. What do we find? We find them moving on. We don't find them there dwelling on the negatives that has happened to them. We see them just getting on with the business. And when we think about life, we are encouraged by the Bible not to be conformed to this world. We're not to let the things of this world shape us and mold us. The negatives of what's happening around us, the weeds that we encounter in our life, should not choke us. Has anybody ever looked at a pond? You know the lily ponds? Anybody knows the lily ponds? Are they the most pristine places? They look murky and dirty, don't they? But we do get what from them? Oh, thank you very much, Lorraine, a beautiful plant. Beautiful. The plant will always blossom, always bloom from the murkiness. And that is what we are expected to do. We're, whatever situation we are in, we must come out shining. We must come out blooming. We must come out invigorated, excited, burgeoning with life and a new bit of energy to take us through the dark times. Romans 12, verse 2 and 3 say, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he or she ought to, but to think soberly, according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And I want us to link this to Micah 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8 reminds us that God has shown us what is good. He wants us to do justly. So things might be bad for us, but don't treat the person the same way that you have been treated. Love mercy. Be merciful in our interactions with people, regardless of how they have treated us, regardless of how much their knees are on our necks. Be merciful unto them and walk humbly with God. Regardless of where we are in life, let us remember that God wants us to be humble. And it is our humility which allows us to see the good in another person. It is our humility which allows us to see He created equal, and all of us are one man. I want us to remember, giving us an example. God has not been conformed by this world. Jesus was born in Nazareth. Do you remember what they said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But Jesus came out of Nazareth. A lot of people will look at us and say, "Can anything good come from you? Can anything good come from where you are from? Can anything good come from what you're doing?" But we are here reminded that God looks on our what? Our hearts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Bloom where you're planted. Don't allow the fact that you have been planted to blind yourself to the fact that it is a start, it's an opportunity, it is a new beginning. I want us to think about the fact that whatever we are going through, God is with us and we are not on our own. When people throw dirt, I want us to remember we are a seed. God is about to use what the enemy meant for evil to make us grow, bloom, and be a shining example. Never allow the negatives that might come our way to thwart God's plan for us. We are encouraged because God says, "I have plans for you. I have plans for you." And if God says He has plans for you, what must we remember about these plans? They're God's plans for us. There's nothing that man can do to move God's plans. And so, regardless of where we put the plant, regardless of where we put the seed, it will grow because that is what it is supposed to do. It needs to be buried in order to grow. And oftentimes we need to be buried. And by being buried, I mean we need to die to self. We need to get rid of that outer skin. You know the seed, when it starts germinating, the outer coat is split, and then it becomes a part of the soil. And sometimes there are things that we have to get rid of in order for us to grow. And that planting season of planting, that season where we are deep and dark and covered, is a season for us to grow. It's a season for us to throw off. It's a season for us to be, it's a new birth. And so this evening, as we think about going into the Sabbath, I want you to remember the plant. You're a plant. You're a seed. And this season that we might be going through, or any season that you are going through where you think you're planted and buried and deep and covered and that you can't see any light, don't think of it in a negative way. Think of it as God saying to you, I know the plans I have for you. Notice it. I know the plans I have for you. Not I think. I know. There's a certainty about that passage of scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans for you. I have plans for you. And guess what? You see, although you see yourself planted and deep and buried, there is a new birth that is coming, because I have plans for you. And these plans are good plans. You're going to be blooming. Prepare to bloom. I have planted you and you are going to bloom because I have plans for you. I have good plans for you, not plans for disaster. So even when you see your outer coat being torn apart, recognize that that outer coat has to go in order for you to move forward, in order for you to burst through the darkness and start pushing up the shoots through the earth. You know, I don't know how many persons have ever thought of how we come through hard times, and the fact that it actually really makes us into pure gold. Malachi chapter 3, and I hope I have it right. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And I just want us to focus on being the refiner. And I'm told that silversmiths, when they're working on this metal, in order to get the best of it, they put it through the fire. And someone once asked a silversmith, how do you know when it's ready? How do you know when you have the purest form of this metal? And the person said, when I can see my reflection in it. And, you know, it means that you have to go through the hottest part of it. But think about it. The hottest part of it means that we are going to come forth as something brand new and something better. And I don't know any of us who doesn't want to be better than we are. And this evening, as we close, it is my dream, it is my hope, it is my prayer that for all of us, this year 2020 is a season of planting for us. And I want us to all look at the fact that we have been planted, and we have been planted deep, and we are planted deep and we are covered over. But the planting that we have been planted is a season of new birth. It's a new birth. It's an opportunity for us to come reinvent ourselves, because when we are finished with this season, it can't be back to normal. We must come out with an energy and an invigoration that allows us to reach everybody, so that people will know that the person who kept us going through all of this is available to them as well. We have a message to take to the world, a faith that will set us free. We have been planted for a purpose. Let us bloom where we are planted.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Our closing song, Nicole?
Yes, is hymn number 209. There'll be no dark valleys when Jesus comes.
There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home. There'll be no more sorrow when Jesus comes. There'll be no more sorrow when Jesus comes. But a glorious morrow when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home. There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes. There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes. And a joyful meeting when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. Together his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home.
Indeed, there'll be no dark valleys when Jesus comes, because God's plans for us are sure and good. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And therefore, whatever he comes to us, we have this hope. We have this hope because God has plans for us. And because God has plans for us, we can rest assured. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us to remember that you love us. And because you love us, you want the best for us. Lord, help us to realize that whatever we go through now, the best is yet to come. We thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are not an ad hoc person, but you have plans for us, and you have had these plans from the beginning, and you know what the end will be. We can rest assured and we can put our hands in your hands, because you, Lord, know that everything is going to be all right. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared the way for us. We give you honor and glory for how you have been taking care of us. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for when we doubted you. Strengthen our faith, dear Jesus, and allow us to continue to be there for one another, to pray for one another, and to encourage one another. Thank you, dear Lord, that we have the opportunity of blooming wherever we are planted, because you will be with us. Help us, dear Lord, to bloom brightly and to bloom in fullness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.